We celebrate the feast of the chair of St. Peter the Apostle. The scriptures today are full of images, full of symbolic language. In the first reading, Peter himself speaks about receiving a crown, an unfading crown of glory. The psalm refers to the Lord as a shepherd, symbolic language. And then in the gospel, we have the symbols of the rock and the gates and the keys. The one thing that's not mentioned in any of the readings is chair. There's no chairs. So you might find it a little strange that that's the name of this feast day, Chair of St. Peter the Apostle. Well, we know this is symbolic language. We're not talking about his physical chair, although there's some traditions that the chair of Peter is preserved in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. But we're talking about his authority, his position, his role in the church. There are different words for chair in English. For example, seat, or a seat is anything that people sit on. A chair is a particular piece of furniture, but the word seat is related to the Latin word see or sedes, and that's why sometimes when we talk about the Vatican, we talk about the apostolic see. It's really the apostolic chair. It's really this chair, this role of authority that the Pope has. Another English word for chair is throne. A throne is a chair, but it's a chair that a king or a royal person sits on. So you could say this is the feast of the throne of Peter. I don't know why we don't use that term. Maybe because English speakers tend not to like monarchies. I don't know. Anyway, chair of Peter, seat of Peter, throne of Peter, authority of Peter, role of Peter. We're talking about the office of Peter. The job that we call the papacy, the Pope. And the one who sits on that chair right now is Pope Francis. So we're celebrating, yes, Peter, but more than Peter the man, we're celebrating the office that was bestowed on Peter, or the role that was given to Peter by Jesus himself. And that role remains in the church to this day in the office of the Pope, or the Apostolic See. For our theme today, we picked out one verse, one of the key verses from today's gospel. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. It's a key verse because it's clear that Jesus is singling out Peter and giving him a unique role. No one else in the scriptures is being told that they're a rock, and that they're going to be, the church is going to be built on them. So it's a very dramatic moment in the life of the church. But it's also a very controversial verse because the implications are very big when it comes to what the church is. So if you have ever been in any conversation with non-Catholic Christians, Protestants, evangelicals, Bible Christians, you will know that they hear or interpret this verse differently than we Catholics do. And the difference hinges on this word rock. Now in the Greek, with the Gospels written in Greek, the word is petros. You are petros. And then when it says, on this rock I will build my church, it says petra. The word for rock is petra, but it's a feminine word. I mean, in English we don't have gender, our words don't have genders, but in other languages, including Greek, the words have gender. So a rock is feminine, a petra. So you can't call a man a petra, so Jesus calls him a petros. And we would say, well, it doesn't make any difference. It's just the same word. Rock is rock. And in the English translation, it says, you are Peter, rock, and on this rock I'll build my church. But others will say, no, Jesus is talking about two different rocks there because it's two different words. So the question is, what is this? It's clear that Peter's called Petros. That's very clear. No one disputes it. The Greek Petros or or in the Aramaic, which is Jesus' own language, they would say kephas, kephas or cephas. So, but what about this other rock? What this rock on which he will build the church? What is this rock? So Catholics would say, that's Peter. Man, Jesus says, you're Peter, you're Peter, you're the rock. And he's the rock on which to build the church. And others will say, well, no, the rock is what Peter just said, his confession of faith. What did he just say? You are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's solid rock on which the church is built, the truth about Jesus Christ. And that's also true. It's also a rock. In fact, it's mentioned in today's collect, if you might have noticed. This is how it says it, right? We pray, Almighty God, that no tempests may disturb us, for you have set us fast on the rock of the Apostle Peter's confession of faith. You have set us on the rock of his confession of faith. So that implies that this rock is not Peter himself, but his faith. Well, in the Catholic tradition, it's both. But if you're a Protestant, you said Peter can't be the rock, and there's no rock. We're talking about the faith that we have. Some Bible scholars also say that Jesus is actually talking about himself. He's talking about himself. He's the rock. And we know that he's the cornerstone, and the scriptures identify him as a rock. Yes. And if you don't build your life on this rock, if you don't put his word into practice just because you hear it, well, then you're building on sand. And all these themes are also strong in the scriptures. And then there are other people who say that the rock is the church as a whole. So that's four different interpretations for one word. But what we celebrate, Catholics celebrate, is that Jesus singled out Peter, identified him with a new name, gave him a new role, and that role remains in the church, the role of the Pope. So that's how we interpret it. And the Pope's role is not the role of a human authority, but upholding the rock foundation of the faith. So the Pope is the guarantee that the church remains faithful to what Peter said, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. When we believe what Peter believed, when we profess what Peter professed, when we believe what the Pope believes, when we profess what the Pope professes, then we're built on rock. And as soon as we deviate from what Peter believes, as soon as we deviate from what the Pope believes, well, then we're no longer on rock, and we're building on sand. So this is the ancient tradition of the church. I know it's the dispute became more difficult after the Protestant Reformation, okay, 16th century and onward. But if you go way, way back, you said the church has always said this is about the Catholic faith. Let me read to you this little passage from a sermon by Pope St. Leo the Great, so way, way before the Protestant Reformation. He's reflecting on this passage from Matthew chapter 16, where where Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And Peter gives the right answer. The other answers are all, they'll sound good. You're John the Baptist, you're a prophet, you're Elijah, you're Jeremiah, but they're all wrong. Peter gives the right answer, and Jesus immediately affirms, you didn't get this from a human authority. No flesh and blood revealed this to you. You got this directly from my Father in heaven. This is the passage that Pope Leo the Great is reflecting on here in this sermon. And then he goes to this section where not only does Jesus affirm what Peter just said, because it came from the Father, Jesus has something to add of his own. So the Father told you this, and I'm going to say this. So I say to you, just like the Father said something to you, I'm going to say something to you. He says, in other words, I'm reading from Pope Leo the Great here, as my Father has revealed to you my Godhead, so I in my turn make known to you your preeminence. You, Peter. You are Peter. Though I am the inviolable rock, Peter, Jesus saying about himself, although I am the unbreakable, unchangeable rock, the cornerstone that makes both one, the foundation apart from which no one can lay any other, that's Jesus. Yet you also are rock, for you are given solidity by my strength, so that which is my very own because of my power is common between us through your participation. What he's explaining here is how Peter is a rock and how he's not a rock. He's a rock by his participation in the solidity, the solidness of Jesus Christ. He's on his own, he's no rock. He's as weak as any other man. And we know this because the very next verses in the gospel, which we didn't read today, show Peter resisting Jesus' revelation of the passion and his being rebuked by Jesus because he got it wrong. So in his humanity, he's just like all of us. But in the authority given to him, he's as solid as a rock. And that's the rock on which our church is built. This feast day is celebrated as a feast day of church unity, which might not seem obvious right away because a lot of people don't accept the role of the Pope and they say, well, the Pope is what divides us because other churches don't have popes. But no, we celebrate it as a feast of unity because what unites us is the one faith declared by the one leader of the church, the Pope. And when we're united with the Pope, we're united. And when we're outside the teaching of the Pope or the authority of the Pope, well, then we're not united. So it's a celebration of unity, but it's also a call to unity. It's a call to unity. It doesn't mean we have to agree with every opinion that the Pope says or with every preference of the Pope, but we must be united with the Pope in faith and morals, in his clear declaration, in the Church's clear declaration of what is the Catholic faith and how is the Catholic faith lived. And as soon as we deviate from that, well, then we're no longer good Catholics. We're no longer built on rock. So it's a celebration of the gift given to Peter. It's a celebration of the gift given to the church. It's a celebration of the unity of the church and this one faith, this one church, this one rock, this one life that we share. It's a call to us and to everybody to unite ourselves with this one authority set up by God himself for the unity of the church. Now, there's much more in this passage. Description of the keys. Keys are a symbol of authority. This explanation that the gates of the nether world shall not prevail. So this is the power of the church is not going to be stopped by the evil one or by death itself. The authority of the church extends all the way into heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. The authority of the church is respected in heaven because it's God's own authority shared with the church, especially with the Pope. So with this little reflection on the role of Peter, we can rejoice. There's a picture of Peter on the song sheet. He's sitting on a chair, a throne, a seat of authority, and he's a teacher, he's a leader. And this is what we're celebrating today. The anointed, guided by the Holy Spirit, so that we can have confidence in knowing the truth and in living according to the life that Jesus has given to the church.